Okay, four. Before I introduce our special guest lecturer, Baruch Hashem, to have Rabbi Rekefet here, I must thank those who helped make this possible. Actually, I want to thank my wife, Perry, being in touch with Rabbi Rekefet all the time, and calling him and making sure, finding the right day, Baruch Hashem, that he's able to come. And also, we'd like to thank for publicizing that this event should be Baruch Hashem, Alan Hirsch from The Views. I want to thank him. And also the congregation, Kehillas Bnei Israel, Congregation Bnei Israel, that we can have it here in Baruch Hashem, we can have it in this place. Really, to really do a good job to introduce Rabbi Rekefet would take quite a while, because Kanai Nahara is a roster, he has so many things that he's involved in, and he's been Baruch Hashem so accomplished. But our Chazal helped to define it in two ways. Our Chazal tell us there's an expression that goes, V'shamay ha'ilech b'chal olam, that his name is known throughout the world. A world, he's a lecturer, he's known as a world lecturer, he's traveled around the world, scholar, and he's a prolific author. As a matter of fact, is the latest book that he just came out with, Baruch Hashem, and on the Rav he wrote many books. That itself deserves a lot of accolades, and we thank you for all that you've done. Also, there's another Divrei Chazal, Lashon of Chazal, that would define Rabbi Rekefet. It's called Ish Ashkolot, which means he's multi-talented, multi-proficient in so many ways. And first of all, being a close Talmud of the Rav, he received from the Rav Soloveitchik so much, and he got his Hanhagas, his Hadrachas, and it was written up in his books. Also, he's a person who has tremendous bekiyas in Halacha, and he wrote in Shalos and Tshuvos about so many Shalos and Tshuvos, and whoever's listened to his many tapes, I mean, Kanai Nahara, he has 20,000 Talmidim and Talmidot that he has that have listened to his thousands of tapes. So he's all around. He's known around the world. That's called Ish Ashkolot. He's multi-talented. And Baruch Hashem, he's been living in Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. 43 plus. I've got to be exact or else you're in trouble here. 43 plus years in Eretz Yisrael. And somebody who's been living in Eretz Yisrael for 43 plus years, he has an understanding of the dynamics, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, and especially the topic tonight, which is the topic which a person has to know and feel the pulse of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it would be my pleasure now to introduce to you Rabbi Rekefet, who will talk about the topic.
Can you get through?
Yeah.
I want to thank your rabbi and Ms. Rebetzin very much for their friendship. Vani modela kadosh baruch hu that I stand before you. It's been a very hard year for me. I'm in a year of avelut, and you can understand what that means. And Baruch Hashem, we have to go further. Now, I have to say, Terry couldn't have picked a better topic. I actually wanted to speak on Reb Aaron Cutler. I bothered her a little. It's his 50th yahrzeit, but she said, no, we have to go with Chok Tal. And I don't know if you know that the latest Time magazine, this is the cover of the issue. I've already read it, and I have to give Time magazine credit. They Nishkasha, they wrote up what's going on in Israel quite well without prejudice. Now, let me begin. Had I been invited, you know, we just had the Siyum Shas. By the way, nothing to do with the general Siyum Shas, but I have my own personal second Siyum Shas with Rishonim. I'm already in Brachot, but the Siyum will first be Hoshana Rabbanit, and that's reasons that you living here will find difficult to understand, but it's a question of getting all the grandchildren together and hoping that Tzva Haganah Yisrael will cooperate and at least let them out for Hoshana Rabbah night. Had I been invited to speak at the Siyum Shas, I have something to say that no one said that night, something very important. And you'll say, Rekefet, what type of idiot are you? All the Gedolim, Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva, right? I'm also Rosh Kolel, Rosh Yeshiva. But they all spoke, and you have something that they didn't say? So I have to tell you, that's an open Gemara, Chulin Dafzayin Amid Aleph, Makam Hinichlo Avotav Lehit Gadembo. Sometimes in my halachic shayurim, I'm overwhelmed by the chidushim that the Ribbono Shel Olam has enabled me, and everyone's looking at me with awe, and I feel so bad. I'm a little kid from the Bronx, from Washington Avenue. But this is a reward you get when you study Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves something over for every aspiring Talmud Chacham to say something new. And I would have gotten up in front of that fabulous audience of 92,000 people. It really was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And I would have said, ladies and gentlemen, we have assembled here 92,000 Torah Jews. It's going to be headlines in every newspaper tomorrow. The New York Times, the bastion of reform, of assimilation, of enmity, that there's a state of Israel. We just began, Merle. I was hunting for you outside, but the Lo Zakiti, but we just began. I'm addressing the Siyum HaShas in Secaucus. And I would have said to them, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, where are we standing? Where is the Siyum taking place? This is Secaucus. Let's get into our cars and buses and go 5 minutes from here. Hackensack. Hoboken. What happened in Hoboken, New Jersey, July 1888? Can anyone tell me? Shabbat. A ship docked. Give me the name of the ship. The Alea. And who was on the ship? And he couldn't get... Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, the Magid Meshurim of Vilna. Moritz Tzedek, Gon Yisrael, Tzadik Yisrael Olam, Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Got off that boat Saturday night. Endless horse and buggies came from the east side, the Kabilat Panav. They made a bracha, and they see a sage, a Chalach Mechatmatoli Reyav. And you tell me what happened to Rabbi Yaakov Yosef in the United States. Destroyed, the saddest chapter in American Jewish history. Remember the stroke, the machloket? The other chief rabbis, who proclaimed you chief rabbi, they asked one of the rabbanim on the east side. He said the sign paper. United States and Canada, absolutely, whatever I told the sign painter. He put on the sign, remember his funeral, the riots that broke out. The nuts and bolts that rained down on the beer from R.H. Hull Company, the anti-Semitism, the New York police. America. What remains of R.J.J.'s family? I'd like to see one living Torah Jew who claims descent from Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. His grandson, who was a Shomer Shabbos, was killed in World War II, was a pilot. His father, Lazarus Joseph, was state controller. Those of you who are my age should remember the name. He was a Shomer Shabbos, but nothing went further. And take a look. How many years later? 124 years later, 90,000 plus, and imagine what that represents. The New York Times was choking the next day. They had an op-ed. The only negative article was in the New York Times, one op-ed page. They zeroed in on the lack of respect for women, etc. I don't want to quote it in the shul. Okay. Took 124 years. My dear friends, it's an open Gemara in Sanhedrin. Dor v'chachamav. We don't... It takes time for the Rabbanim to understand the generation. It takes time for Torah to interact with the realia of life in which the Torah civilization finds itself. Every generation needs chachamim. You all know the Gemara in Menachot, that Moshe Rabbeinu came into Rabbi Akiva's Beis Medrash, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand anything. It was a different milieu, a different environment. He was frightened. What happened to the Torah I received? Until he heard Rabbi Akiva say, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So you see, we have an expression in modern Hebrew. It comes from one of the modern authors. Ota gevedet bishinui aderet. It's the same lady, but in a different dress. And I always say that's the secret of Torah. Torah is one, the same, eternal. But in each civilization, it ultimately has to express itself a little differently than it expressed itself 100 or 200 years before. And in the state of Israel, I guarantee you, it'll take another 60 years, give it a, we're 64 years old, give it another 60, 124 years, there'll be total integration of Torah Hashem Tamima on the total Israeli scene. Now, the problems we face begin in 1949. 1948, 1947, Hayinu Kacholim, I've spoken to many people who were there, who went through the war. We were in a daze. No one knew what would happen, the Holocaust, the Arab terrorism, the bombs in Ben Yehuda Street, three different armies, the Haganah, Eitzel, Lefi. And we went to war. Neis Gadol, Hayah, here I have to say, Hayah Sham. Tremendous miracle. 49, during the first Hafugah, the first break in the fighting, when there was a temporary truce, Ben Gurion, as he was known, BG, had to decide what type of army we're going to have. All the various groups threw in their guns. There would be one army, IDF, Israel Defense Force, Tzva Haganah Yisrael, Tzahal. And here you had a tremendous problem. In the Palmach, which was the striking force of the Haganah, Plugot Mochets, Palmach, for the first time you had a problem. Kol Zman, as long as you were at home, you were in the Haganah, you went home to eat, you brought your food from the house. Shabbos, if you couldn't go home right away when you went home, you made Kiddush, had Lechem Mishnah. No one interfered with your Shabbat, with your Kashrut, etc. When you have a striking force that operates away from home, you have a problem. And particularly at that time, we have to recall and never forget this, we religious Jews did not make Aliyah. The second Aliyah that built the country was 90% secularist, in rebellion, socialist, anarchist, communists, everything but a Ben Torah. And there are many reasons why. I'm not here to criticize anyone. Many asked Shilas and their rebbeim told them, Chas v'chalila, stay behind. I can only tell you that three times in public speaking, I quoted the Satmar Rebbe, and from the audience, people shouted at me, Yamach Shmo v'zichro, and I was, shaking. And after the lecture, they came over, and of course they explained themselves. The explanation is obvious, to quote all three, but turn it down to one. He said, I'm the only one left alive because I didn't listen to the Rebbe. Everyone in my family stayed behind, and he was a member of Kibbutz Adati. I still see him standing before me, and thank God I didn't listen. So we didn't go on Aliyah. And Israel is a democracy. And when anyone criticizes Israel, you're a fool. You're standing in Flatbush and criticizing Israel. If you have any criticism, come to Israel and help the democracy. That's better. You're voting for Obama here. You're voting for Romney. It's a democracy. In Israel, you have the power of a democracy. The ballot is your bullet. Quote, end quote. So there's nothing to criticize. Since then, I'm criticizing. A big deal. Come, help, make it better. Okay. In the Palmach, what happened was the religious soldiers took the easy way out. And in all the big cities, you had a plugat datit where the entire chain of command and all the soldiers were religious. I yet had the schut to know intimately Rabbi Avraham Melamed, who was the commander of the religious division in Yerushalayim. He was a full colonel on a Luft Mishneh. And he always used to tell me, because later he was a big shot in the in the Israeli Ministry of Education, and he liked the Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. He took a liking to me, and we were quite friendly, and he would always say to me, Al Tishkach, don't forget, Ani hayiti hamafaked shel Shlomo Goreshchik. I was the mafaked of Shlomo Goreshchik. Can anyone tell me who Shlomo Goreshchik? That's Rav Shlomo Goren. And he was a sharpshooter. He showed me the house. It was right around the corner from where we lived for the last 43 plus years. He was a sharpshooter on what today is Rehov Rav Herzog. That's where he was stationed. From the window, he showed me where. He was a character par excellence. I also had the squid of knowing Rav Goren. I believe I mentioned him in the book as well. Interesting individual. Now, they took the easy way out. And when Tzva Haganah Yisrael was formed, there was a tremendous debate. And many people wanted plugot, datiyot, separation. Others said, chas v'chalil, if we do this, we will never have a religious Israel as far as the public thoroughfares concerned, the Rishut HaRabim. And they fought to have a kosher army and an army that will not train in Shabbos, and it will obligate everyone that the public thoroughfare of the army has to be religious, and a religious Jew has to feel at home. And everyone was waiting for BG to give the signal. And he got up in a very memorable address in 49 in the Knesset. And I quote him, and I'm quoting him in English, but I'm living it in Hebrew. And BG said, in every army there's a military belt, a chagorah, tzvait it's called. And he says, on our chagorah, it'll be like any other military belt. There'll be room for a grenade, and there'll be room for a gun, and there'll be room for bullets, and there'll be room for a canteen. And for those who want, there will be room for tefillin. And that set the tone. And of course, I've given many lectures, I can show you all the sources. The army, by law, has to be Sabbath observing and kosher. And this is chok v'lo ya'avar. For the sake of argument, I can give you another example. I never spoke about halacha in the army because I don't like to repeat myself. Yes. So, you know, when I spoke about it, I gave you examples how the army functions to enable it to observe kashrut on Shabbat in the public thoroughfare. Now, the question of yeshiva boys serving in the army became a major issue back in 49. And you have to recall and remember and look at the sources. Al pi halacha, in a milchemet mitzvah, and there's no greater milchemet mitzvah than that which we have now, the Arabs would kill every last Jew in the state of Israel. Look what they did the other night to the Egyptians. These are Arabs killing Egyptians. Look what's going on in Syria. Do we have to go any further? Look in Iraq. It's beyond words, their mentality. But if you've learned the Quran, you will understand that life has no value if you're an infidel, if you differ ever so slightly with what that particular Arab believes in. So this is a Muhammad Mitzvah. Muhammad Mitzvah, it's an open sugya in Sota, Daf Mem Hei. The Rambam Hilchit Malachim, there is no question whatsoever that even the Chatan V'Kala, the Mishnah says, have to go out to fight. So, logically speaking, no one should be exempt. Now, you don't have to believe Rakefet. Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, the great Rav Zevin, one of the greatest Gedolim that I yet had the privilege to speak and learning with, the man who founded and edited the entire concept of the Talmudic Encyclopedia is Rav Zevin. To know Rav Zevin was to know a giant. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart. He was a Chabadnik from the old school and never touched his beard. Those of you familiar with Chabad. He wrote an article opposing exempting anyone from the draft, that no yeshiva boy should be exempt. That article was later translated into English. It appeared in tradition in the early 80s. Rabbi Lichtenstein, my Yididi, Umakiri, V'chaveri, wrote an article at that time in tradition that all of you, when you were younger and healthy, had to serve in the army as well. There's no exemption for a Jew living in San Francisco, Los Angeles, even in Borough Park or Flatbush. But the Rabbanim pleaded with BG, and I believe they viewed it, if I can use halachic terminology, Hora'at Sha'ah. They viewed it as an emergency ruling. Europe is wiped out, the yeshiva are wiped out, the Hasidic world is wiped out. America wasn't more than a can of beans and reform and conservative and a little Torah presence. If we don't exempt 200-300 yeshiva boys, we are not going to have a future. And BG gave in and exempted. Now, I don't want to go into great detail, but until today, all the people who studied Ben-Gurion's life, Yesh Toshim L'Shvach, V'Yesh Toshim L'Gnai, tremendous machloket why BG gave in. Some say it was yet Yisud D'Yenukta. He remembered his youth, he remembered his father, remembered his mother, remembered where he came from, remembered yeshiva, Shmirat Shabbos, and yeshiva learning, and he gave in. Others say, and they claim this is the more correct approach, Ben-Gurion was confident that in 20 years there would not remain one religious Jew in the state of Israel. He was confident. The Sephardic masses were pouring in. We now have memoir literature, and the Mapainikim were cutting off their payas. They put them in a kibbutz, and they bring chickens and hit them over the head. We don't need sheikhdom in Israel. That was in Morocco. That was in Yemen. Not over here. And who's going to remain religious? The survivors, the Holocaust survivors, the Hasidim. It's outlandish. It's outmodish. Let them be part of the country. Let's exempt now. We'll give in to them. In 20 years, we will have no problem. Of course, what happened in Israel was miraculous. Two trends developed in the Torah world. Those that were exempt, the so-called Haredi trend, and I use the term descriptively, not pejoratively, the Haredi trend went into ghettoization. And Shalom al Yisrael, don't bother me, I don't bother you. Let us be in Me'er Sharim, let us be in Geula, let us be in Bnei Brak, and we are happy, don't interfere with our lifestyle. This Haredi world did not have great success. The 50s, the 60s, Ben-Gurion was right, and I always tell the story that what happened to me personally, I was speaking in a 20-star hotel in Caesarea. If you've been there, there's one hotel. We were there when you had scholar in residence, and that year Netanyahu was meeting with the prime ministers from all over the world, and every morning Shin Bet, the security, his check is securing the area, and I'm sitting in the sukkah learning, and all right, they understood that I wake up early and I go into the sukkah to learn, so I was allowed to remain in the safe area. They did me a big favor, but what a hotel. And here I am speaking, and I mentioned that in the 50s, Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, which was the yeshiva in Yerushalayim, or at least the Zalman Meltzer, a yeshiva, they would graduate 120 kids from the yeshiva katan, high school age. And I said 10% remained from all the generals in the army. Everyone in the 60s and 70s was an Eitz Chaim graduate. And there was a gentleman there who made it big in America from South Florida with a long beard and a bekashur, but real estate on top of real estate. And his nephew was running the program, and his nephew says, "Uncle, tell me, is Rafa Tefet right?" And the uncle gets up and he says, "Absolutely wrong. 10% remain religious. In my class of 127, I am the only one who remained the Shema Torah mitzvah. One out of 127. I said, "Okay, I'll accept the correction, but I'm told if I say 10%, I'm on safe ground." By the 70s, the world changed. First of all, Menachem Begin became prime minister. Menachem Begin, as you all know, and I don't want to hurt your wife's feelings, I shut down her hero. He's a great man, and I admire him. But the Rakefet is the litmus Rakefet test for what you really believe. And it's very simple. the way you try to raise your children. We don't always succeed with our children. Not everyone has total success. But it's the education you attempt to give them. Menachem Begin gave his children absolutely no Torah education whatsoever. You see it in Benny Begin, the man's values, humanism, liberalism, democracy. I never yet heard him speak about Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Yes, he's a right-winger like his father. But it's not a right-winger who comes from Torah Tashem Tamima. And I don't want to go further. Grandchildren of Begin, we were shocked. But that was Begin. I coined the term in the army. It's a whole history to this term. We have today many generals, many major generals who are Shema Torah Mitzvah 1,000%. One of them, of course, is he was a major general, Yaakov Amidra. He today is the advisor to the Prime Minister on security matters, has a very big position. But he was forced to leave the army because he used the term, speaking to young officers, that in Israel we fear we are producing many goyim dovrei ivrit. Gentiles who speak Hebrew. Had he consulted with me, I would have told him the term I copyrighted when I served in the army for 14 and a half years till the dying computer kicked me out. I turned 49, I protested, I got back in. Turned 54 and protested, Skehelfen via Taken Bangus. And to translate that, I'll leave it to others. So I coined the term Anusim Hafuchim, inverted Muranos, because I had the same idea. I wanted to stress we have to be Jews. It's not enough to speak Hebrew. It's not enough to have an Israeli mentality. It's not enough not to eat chametz on Pesach, because it's part of the national scene. It's not enough just to light Hanukkah candles, because everyone does. It's not enough to buy a newspaper Erev Shavuos that is green. All newspapers go green. The front page is green. It's Erev Shavuot. But you have to have inner values. What was a Marano? A Jew on the inside, a Gentile on the outside. Menachem Begin was a perfect example. A proud, dynamic Jew born in Brisk on the outside. And in the inside, he was like many other secular Zionists. But he loved Frumma Yidden. And he loved Agudat Yisrael. He loved Menachem Parish. He had to see them together, mutual love society. And I saw the way they interacted. And until then, yeshivat exemptions were limited. In the 70s, Menachem Begin said, build as many yeshivas as you want. And the Haredi world is starting to succeed. They're keeping their children. Secular Zionism is no longer the tremendous pull that it was. The magic is gone. And Torah is Torah. And Chinuch is Chinuch. And suddenly there's an explosion of religious Jews. And by the 80s, they start branching out. They leave Bnei Brak. They leave Yerushalayim. You have one settlement after another. Emmanuel and that entire area coming around Yehuda and the Shomron. You will find religious settlements, Haredi settlements, Ashdod, the Ger Hasidim, Ashkelon, all over the country. And it continues to develop. On the other hand, the religious Zionist element took years. But Dor Dor V'Dashav, Dor Dor V'Chachamav, it took years. But they are integrating with the country. They're now high schools, yeshivat tichoniyot. You take for granted. I went to Talmudical Academy. You went to Torah V'Das. You went to Satma. Everyone has a high school here. In Israel, it was unheard of, a yeshiva high school. And you have Merkaz Harav and the tremendous, development of thinking, of ideology, of pride, of joy after the Six-Day War. And you have the yeshiva Hester. You have Hadarom, Kerem Biavna, Shalavim.
ultimately today, you have so many yeshiva heads there that perhaps if we put all our fingers together in this room, we will be able to count how many there are. I know with my own grandsons, I don't even eat. No two, basically, have gone to the same yeshiva hezda. And then you have, for the girls, the upanot and the michlalot and the choice. And today a girl can go to college and study dancing, and she can study gymnastics, and she can study art, and she can study music, and all Torah institutions. How many svarim already have been written? What you do with art, what you can do, what you can paint, what you can sculpt. It, Bezalel, this year, for the new term, opened a Haredi division, Bezalel Art School in Yerushalayim. The government put a lot of heat on them. They from the Misrad HaChinuch, they said, you don't have enough kippot in your school. You're in Yerushalayim. You're not like the Hebrew U, you're not like Bar Ilan, you're not like Haifa, you're not like Be'er Sheva. Every other institution has a tremendous amount of kippot. Where are they? And the government voted a tremendous budget, and it got off the floor now to have a Haredi division. So you see, there's integration in the Tzioni Dati world. But it's not only integration. It reaches a point where our children, our grandchildren, my grandchildren look at me with their friends. What do we need a religious party for? What do we lack? Who needs a Mizrahi? Who needs a Maftal? We're part and parcel of the state. There are now three Supreme Court justices wearing big kippot. One of them is a YU graduate. One of them is a Shtigala Talmud of mine. And someone else. One of them doesn't wear a kippah, but you'll recognize the name immediately. Meltzer. The judge named Meltzer. That's Reb Tzvi. That's Reb Issa Zalman's great nephew. Thank God he married the right woman. He's like traditional. But his children, Kulam, has the graduate Shomrei Torah Mitzvot LeKavadu LeTiferet, of course. The Medrash says, Reshit Rabba, HaKol Acharei HaIsha. Everything follows the woman. She creates the home, she creates the house, she creates the Yiret Shemayim. When all the feminists complain that they have to take the last name of the husband, I always answer them, yes, your last name with a bank account, with ownership, we have to know who's who. But when it comes to religion, no, the husband counts for nothing. Hakol acharei ha'isha, the most important facet of life, spirituality, our Torah, our commitment, our life, our breathing, that goes after the mother. What are you complaining about? So, you take the generals. There's a general, he's now the Skan Rama. First of all, the Ramatkal is a Sheikitz. He's a yeshiva bacha. Benny Gantz? You should see, at least he has Derech Eretz for his Rebbe. When Reb Chaim Drukman, he met Reb Chaim at the Kotel, I believe, he hugged him, he kissed him, you saw he had Derech Eretz. But all right, we don't know who his wife is, I don't want to elaborate. But the Skan Ramatkal, you look at him, Ya'ir Naveh, Major General Ya'ir Naveh. If Rabbi, if you would take one look at him, you would say, Ez Bamir in Shul Agabai. That's exactly what he looks like. My wife got a Sefer Torah for the single hand. I have to give Malka credit. And I said, they had this Torah in Muncie and they're boasting it survived the Holocaust. And my wife turned to this world famous woman, and you're leaving the Torah in Muncie? You don't want to give it to the Israeli Defense Forces? This was said on Sukkot. Matzai Sukkot, I called my Talmud Jerry Atlas. Jenny had to call this woman in this hotel and you had to appear before her in uniform. He's a major in the rabbinate. But she thought he's a general. She saw already, you know, that Tzatzk is here. So she thought he's a general. And within a few months, we had a tremendous Hadashat Sefer Torah, Hadashat Sefer Torah, at the Central Army Command Post in Yehuda Vishomran. And there's General Naver giving out the kibudim, atah, hareta, ladad. I see right away, this guy is knows how to daven, this is a yeshiva boy. It's a different world today. Now, issues came up, and I need not tell you, The Haredi world is much more conservative with a small c. They live with the principle, those of you who have heard my lectures, the history of Torah in modern times, they live with the principle of the Chatam Sofer. It's based upon a Mishnah that really has nothing to do with the way the Chatam Sofer uses it, but he quoted it out of context, Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. And in simple language, it means any innovation, anything new, is forbidden. So, two issues have come up that have become focal on the Israeli scene. These two issues gave birth to new words in modern Hebrew. I can tell you, Eliezer would be alive, Ben Yehuda would be alive, Eliezer Ben Yehuda, he would be overwhelmed because here this man worked so hard, we should speak Hebrew. His wife put on a shaker, you know that, he lived in Me'i Sharim. And he may believe he was one of the crowd, he may have been. And he spoke Hebrew and wanted them to speak Hebrew. Ultimately, they kicked him out. And he tried so hard and he got nowhere. Today in Israel, I'm overwhelmed. It took me 50 years to be at home in Hebrew as much as I am in English. That's as much as I am at home in Hebrew. It took me 50 years. I walked the streets of Yerushalayim, kids 2 years old are speaking fluent, modern, beautiful Hebrew. Ashrei ayin ra'atazot. Okay. So they had to coin new words. Whoever heard of a computer in Hebrew? Michshuv, computerization. All right. They came up with an entire new vocabulary. The banks, a kaspamat, what you call an automatic teller to take out money. It's a good word, kaspamat. It gives you kesef, gives you money. Baruch Hashem, you think it's chinam, ein kesef. And a myriad of other new words, mechonit, an automobile. I know my rebbein used to call it automobile, a mashinka. That was the word they used, the mashinka vatfons. But in Israel, mechonit, all right. Because of these issues, they came up with new words. First of all, I don't know how it happened. It's not so much in the Hasidic world, but in the literature world where I live and grew up and am part of and preach about it and write about it and teach about it, and a world that doesn't exist anymore. I'm just fossilized and I recognize that, and no more than a dinosaur. Hasidus conquered the world. But in Israel, the Hasidim work, the literature, I don't know how it happened, Menzitz, Menlerint, and everyone is learning, and the joke is, when you get a wedding invitation, they say from Hanov, you ask, what does the Chatan do? He's going to learn in a kollel. What does his father do? He's still learning in a kollel. What does the girl's father do? Still learning in a kollel. Now, this is very good if you have 5 children, all right? Some people here are very wealthy, you can support 5 children. What about if the 5 each have 5 and you now have 25 kollelite to support? I don't know, unless you're Rockefeller, it seems to me there is a problem here. Eichmann, all right, Eichmann can afford to support 25. There are other, Leib Levayev can afford to support a few hundred grandchildren. But it's become a tremendous burden to the country. And the Misrad HaChinuch introduced a concept, and this is the new term, Tochnit HaLiba. It's the Hebrew equivalent of a core curriculum. What does it consist of, core curriculum? Mathematics, computerization, and English. Nope, you all know, a great deal of the Torah world has proclaimed, don't tell us what to teach and don't tell us what to do. Chas v'chalila, keep out. Chadash aslum in ha-Torah. Well, the secular population and the religious Zionist population, and to a certain degree even the Hasidic population, are very frightened. You have a fabulous economy in Israel. The economy today is better than the United States. Tens of thousands are pouring in from France, and these aren't poor individuals. If you know what's going on with real estate in Jerusalem,
wherever the French want to live, La Yehudim Haita Ora V'Simcha. I can tell you, we get an open our mailbox every day. We are interested in buying your apartment, immediate cash. And they don't mean a few hundred thousand. We're talking now hitting a million for apartments that, when you take all the space in it, it's smaller than this whole room put together. It's beyond words. But it's centrally located. You can daven at the Kotel Friday night. You can walk to the Knesset. You can walk to the museum. You can walk wherever you want. When a president of the United States comes to visit, you know, when Mitt Romney will visit as president, you don't have to worry if the streets are cut off. I can tell you, you can't get anywhere. They cut the city in half. No one can move. Security, I was standing at my corner going to Mariv, and there's Bill Clinton being driven by 1 foot away from me. Kukacham, the Tzadik Hada, Bill Clinton. It's a good thing I didn't send them flowers. Pardon the pun. Anyway, this is a tremendous problem, and it frightens the non-Haredi world. The other problem, of course, and here they've gone to the Supreme Court, is common sense. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand it. If you pay taxes and you're exempt, there's something the matter with democracy. So time and again, they've gone to the Supreme Court, and in 2002, the Supreme Court ruled that this blanket draft exemption for the so-called Haredi world is a contradiction of democracy. 2002, they assigned a committee headed by Judge Tzvi Tal. Now, all of you know who Judge Tzvi Tal is. Have you ever held his uncle's sitter in your hand, Rinat Yisrael Harav Shlomo Tal? It's his nephew. Tzvi Tal is a big Talmud Chacham, has smicha. He is a great lawyer and a judge, and he was on the Supreme Court. And when you hit, I think it is 70, the Supreme Court, you are retired. Okay? So Tzvi Tal was called upon, and that's why it's called Chok Tal. And what they came up with was, let a yeshiva boy learn until he's 22. At the age of 22, he has three different options. He can go into the army for 16 months and have full benefit as someone who served in the army. And they'll train him, what they were talking about was Chok Tal, they will train him how to be a god, how to shoot. And obviously, this is the lowest level of what the army can do. But considering how big Israel is, it could absorb tens of thousands of chayalim who will serve for 16 months, later can do miluim, and they will have the ability to guard, knowing how to shoot, be taught how to question a suspicious person, etc. That would be one choice. A second choice was that they can go to work if they wish and become productive members of society, but they would not have the benefits of the Yotzei Tzava. The third choice was to continue learning. And the Supreme Court ruled we have to give it a chance, let's see what the results are, but 10 years have passed and the numbers of those who chose to go further and to go into the army or go into the workforce were negligible. Dorit Beinish, stepping down as the head of the Supreme Court, turning 70, her last decision this past year, Chok Tal is unconstitutional. I need not tell you, as of July 31st at midnight a few weeks ago, a week and a half ago, everyone in Israel became eligible for the IDF. Technically, the government can arrest anyone turning 18 who does not report to the draft board for being a deserter. Chok Tal came to an end. What will happen? Kadima, and I have to take for granted you know basic Israeli politics, because to explain Israeli politics is more than a Siyum Shas. But
Kandimas, see here,
some of your old friends
made a tragic mistake. Baruch HaTov and Malach HaLam Shem Kandim. Shas figured that Mofaz would take over Kadima. He's a Spadi, Eidot HaMizrach, and you know, all the Eidot HaMizrach, they can be Mechalel Shabbos, they can eat what they want, but they know the Gis D'Yilukta, they know Pizmonim, they know Slicha, they know how to sing. So they figured he would be fabulous for the Haredi world. Turned out, he has turned the draft of yeshiva boys into the prime issue that will be in the next election. Now, Netanyahu has the ability to see his government survive another year. He will be the first prime minister whose government has survived for 4 full years since the 1950s. It has never happened. He has the ability, and he wants to delay elections for one simple reason. He just raised taxes. And you understand, the masses, at times, if you're familiar with the Alexis de Tocqueville's critique of American democracy before the Civil War, the French social scientist, you understand what I'm saying. Democracy has a built-in fault. Rabbi Dr. Mark Licht, my Talmud sitting in front of me, has been suffering for generations. Do you know why? Because when he was a kid in kindergarten, it was a beautiful spring day, and the teacher said, "Children, how many of you want to go to the library and study books?" Mark raised his hand. The other 22 kids voted to go to the park and go on the swings. All right? You know how he felt? Ounce voted 22 to 1. Tell me who was right. Oh boy. So this is democracy. They raise the taxes. We're fighting a war for survival. We now have to have endless soldiers on the Golan Heights, endless soldiers facing Egypt. Who knows what will be with Iran? Taxes were raised by 1%? You should gladly give a free will offering of another 10%. So Netanyahu's popularity went down. He has to wait till people forget about the taxes being raised. So he's not going to call elections right away. But Kadima is building up. It's a one party, a one issue electrical battle that will be unbelievable. And I tell you in advance, plug your ears, the Lashon Hara, the Rechilah, the Ritzicha. It will not be for a good Jew to listen to these people speak. Now, Netanyahu is a very interesting individual. He has a father, he had a father, and he had a father-in-law. No, what can you tell me about them? His father was a son of a Litvisha Rav, descended from the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. His father, who just died a few months ago, all his life was in Jewish scholarship, wrote the definitive volume on the Ababinel. Father taught professor Jewish history, rabbinic topics. I don't believe the father fasted on Yom Kippur. That's how distant his father was from practicing Yiddishkeit. I once was walking up this. I know where his father lives, around the corner from my daughter. It's an area where there are shuls that make Flatbush look like it doesn't have enough shuls. It makes Borough Park look irreligious. He has never been seen in any of the shuls around his home. And he lived there for 102 years. It's not that he just came yesterday. Sarah's father knew. Can anyone tell me? He died about 2 years ago. Ben Atzi, Shlomo Ben Atzi, the last living Talmud of the Alta of Novadik, Rabbi Yosel Horowitz. And he, in his youth, came out of Novadik, Talmud Chacham, threw it all away, and raised his family. His oldest son, Oh my. Don't want to quote what the man has said about people like me. A Sonei Yisrael professor at a Hebrew university protected by free speech. His son refused to go into the army, went to jail. That's Netanyahu's nephew. On that day, more than 20 years ago, the father got up in public and said, the greatest mistake of my life was throwing Torah away, and he became a total, complete Baal Tshuva. What's interesting is Sarah is traditional. She already has feeling the Sorati. His youngest son, Chagai Benatzi, who has anyone here studied with him at Bar Ilan, elsewhere, read his doctorate in Rav Kook, Sadik Yisod Olam, the young, but it's all out of one family. Netanyahu's daughter from a previous marriage only married a student of mine, a YU Musmach, who sat many years in the in Yeshivat HaKotel's Kolel, and she already became, I don't want to use the word Baal Tshuva, I can be a Baal Tshuva. Beryl can be a Baal Tshuva. We were raised properly. I saw Gedolei Yisrael already at the age, you know, in my book, you see, who are my Rebbeim, the Shanghai Kabbalah, is in seventh grade. But Chazra L'Mekorot came back to being what a Jew is. This is what we have to stress. This is a Jew. The New York Times has to be told, when you don't look like a Jew, you assimilate. It's inevitable. All the statistics prove it. She came back already in high school, covers her hair like this. Sadeket. Very interesting. So you notice, he already has a very refined approach. And when I heard what he said recently, I couldn't believe it. As if he consulted with me, it's exactly what I was telling everyone around me, that it has to be a gradual process. You can't throw 70,000 Yungam light into jail. And you have to make it feasible. You begin with 1,000 and it'll build up to 2,000. And you have to go gradually. And you have to have commanders who understand what Haredim are about. And you have to make it possible for them to feel totally at home in the army. And I have 4 grandsons who did Nachal Haredi. And I can tell you stories, Nachal Haredi, it's unbelievable. One time it's written in there's a whole book about Nachal Haredi, it's called Haredim LeGoralam. So they tell a story that everyone was told not to leave their tent, not to budge outside. Everyone thought there was an attack, that they were mechablim, they were there. A woman wandered onto the base, and the commanders got so uptight that chas v'chalila, they're going against army regulations that women are not allowed to be in a Nachal Haredi base, that they called a curfew until they could find the women and get them off the base. So it has to be a gradual process. And it has to happen, and it will happen. I'll explain why in a moment. Now, but with the election, it's very interesting. You have the Likud, you have, of course, Kadima, then you have Avodah. And here I'll explain to you something that people have asked me, who heads up the Avodah? Shelly Achimovich. So if you notice, she speaks much more intelligently, without enmity, and she understands Haredim. Where does that come from? Do you know where it comes from? Her main advisor and supporter, number 2 on the ticket, is Yitzchak Herzog. And Yitzchak Herzog is a Shomer Shabbos. He had knows who his father was, the Major General, President of the State, Chaim Herzog. I'll tell you a story about him in a second. And he yet knows who his grandfather was, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog. And he's, on these religious issues, he talks the way we would speak. And I can tell you, with his father, General Herzog, President of Israel, I can tell you what I saw with my own eyes. I was overwhelmed. It happened to me. He once called me to thank me. Those of you familiar with my, it must be in my 3rd or 4th book, Rakaf Adarim Chelek Aleph Chelek Bey, I once published on Rav Herzog's tshuva. I published an entire survey, and I lectured on it extensively, and he called to thank me. That's before he became president. And then he becomes president, and some of you know that I once was an American rabbi. What do you think? I grew up in Yerushalayim. I once was an American rabbi. It's all in here. And I was the first rabbi of the first Orthodox shul in suburban Essex County. No one believes me today because the whole area is filled with Torah, with Chabad, with everything. My shul has an Erev. Chabad already took over a second building in the community. There's a yeshiva. When we began, we had nothing. We didn't even have a minyan of Shomer Shabbos. It was the old story. How do you run a shul if people are going to ride to the shul on Shabbos? We didn't have a minyan yet of Shomer Shabbos. So there was one family moved out of Newark. Newark was changing, and I was very close to this family. Survivors, the Shomrei Torah Mitzvah, the Roth family, and their daughter came in Aliyah, married a boy from Tel Aviv, from a big Mizrahi home, and they've done very well. And I was Masada Kedushin, and then they had a Bar Mitzvah, and they brought us to a very fancy area for Shabbos in a hotel in Herzliya Pituach, and we davened in the shul. And there's the president of the state of Israel sitting Aben on up front, two bodyguards, one on one side, the mini Michoyo, the Smoli Gabriel. And I take a look, Chaim Herzog and Edavin Davada. And then, you know, we have Birchat Kohanim every day in Israel. We're not only the Sfardim, but the Ashkenazim. And the president of the state of Israel, followed by his bodyguards, walk to the back of the shul to wash the hands of the Kohanim. Ashrei ayin ra'ata zot. Plain and simple. And this is the Avodah and why they have been muttering. So it's going to be very interesting. I don't know what the exact solution will be, but a solution will be found. And let me say, the Haredi world, willy-nilly, is opening up. Most people don't want to be poor. Most people want to live in dignity. It may very well be that this is a Torah commandment, the Avada, Sheisha Jamim Tasem Lachtecha, a person has to work, a person has to be productive, Milua Taaretz, the Kibshuha. And people, it's normal. And what's happening is, little by little, you have one institution after another sprouting up. I walk into Machon Lev, that's right next to where I teach, right next to Gris, right next to Yeshiva University. There are four tremendous campuses between Gibat Mordechai and Bayit Vagan. It's called Givat HaRakafot. I'm not playing games with you. That's the official name. It is called the Ridge, the side of the mountain where the Rakafot grow wild. That's the official name. Machon Lev, Yeshiva University, Horov High School for Girls, Michlala. On an average weekday morning, up to 30,000 young people are being educated, a Torah education, on this mountain ridge. And I daven a lot of times in Machon Lev. I have to catch mincha before I give shia. I have to catch marav after shia. You walk into Machon Lev, you hear every language under the sun: English, French, Spanish, Russian, Amharic, Hebrew, and every Jew under the sun. Hasidische Junge Leit, Litvische, every type of hat, imaginable, every type of kippah struga, every type of understanding, and b'shalom, b'shalva, minyanim, one after another all day. There are times for minyanim. Everyone davens together, everyone goes to class together, and it's a tremendous success story. Machon Lev has produced multi-billionaires with inventions. Why Israel is capable of what the Jewish mind, Mitt Romney, had it right when he spoke Motzai Tisha B'Av in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. So you see, the world is opening. The army, there are many Haredim, and the real Haredim who don't want to budge blame the American Haredim that they come to Israel, they have PhDs, they have MDs, they're more open, and the state is theirs. When you take a look at what the statistics show, the state will be theirs. Who's going to own it? It's a democracy. Do you read the Time magazine article? The religious progression, 10% of the population, 20%, endless children. Look at Yerushalayim. 80% of the children are getting a religious education in the city of Jerusalem today. And this is moving all over the country. The outreach that's being done in for the sake of argument, North Tel Aviv, I have a Talmud opened a shul there. He was previously an assistant rabbi in the Hamptons. He gets a shul that didn't have a minion in North Tel Aviv Friday night. He gets 300 people. But you got to know how he does it. Oh, I can't the shtick already. A red carpet is put out. L'kabelet Shabbat, you have to walk in the shul on a red carpet, and then when you turn around, Bowi Kala, the Shabbat is coming in on a red carpet. After the davening, they make Kiddush, and there is a real collation. No, not just plain wine, champagne. You follow? Ah, so he's building, he's attracting. It's a different world. So let me tell you, I'll quote from two volumes to you, give you a feeling of what's happening, and then I'll conclude with some different Torah to bolster what I'm saying. Let me quote from two volumes. Again, if I quoted last year, cut me off immediately. I don't like to repeat myself. But from the time I spoke here last year, I've given so many shayurim that a mazel of Columbus, if I should remember what I said where. Okay, as you know, the YU website, I came to the Kotel one Friday night months ago, and everyone is dancing around me. They want to put me on their shoulders. I said, what's going on here? Rebbe, you hit 1,000 different shayurim on the YU website. I said, oh, I hit 1,000 different shayurim. I said, all right, but not on your shoulders. I can't risk it at my age, falling. Baruch, what I'm saying. So, Baruch Hashem, but I was a hero. Everyone had my minion. Oh, boy. Two beautiful books came out that say a lot about modern Israeli society and what's happening. One book is Mikimi Meofar. It's by a wonderful lady, Noah Dayan, who was a TV Noah Dayan Yaron. She was a TV personality. She was in the army, on the army radio. A typical Israeli girl. And she was with, I don't want to use the different word, a more profound word. She was with a man who was a tremendous TV writer. And money was no problem. And one December, did I tell the story last year? Okay. And one December, he and she said, let's get away to Israel, too many Jews, so much tension. Let's get a break. So they called their agent, they book to Holland. Let's go to Holland, let's see what's going on. They go to Amsterdam, they go to the museums, they see Rembrandt. By the way, I just learned that Rav Kook wrote about Rembrandt, that he had a soul of sanctity, that religious fervor. I have to tell a grandson who's an artist what Rav Kook wrote about giving the sources. So they see Rembrandt, and in the museums they see Jews with kippah. So they say, no, we have to get away from here. So they go on the train and they go to the furthest, most northern part of Holland. And they get out, and the station master, they go over and they say, speaking English, obviously, can you tell us where the nearest hotel is? And he looks at them and says, what, are you crazy? This is the heart of winter. The hotels here are all closed. The boarding houses, they open up again in March, not December. But there's no train going back tonight. So he says, you know what, take over the station. I'm going to walk down the block. There's a little boarding house. Maybe he'll open up a room for you. Comes back and he says, walk. I'll show you where to walk. He said, he'll be kind to you because I told him you're stranded. They come into this little hotel and the gentleman who owns it says, give me another minute. I have to run upstairs, see that everything is all right. I'll give you your room. And he runs upstairs. Now, what language were they speaking until now? They were speaking English. When the man went upstairs and they're speaking one to the other, no, they spoke Hebrew. The man comes down the stairs and he says, what are you speaking? Are you speaking Hebrew? They say, yes. Are you Jewish? They say, yes. He says, come into my office. He takes them into his office, and there's a Hanukkah menorah burning in the office. And at that moment, the tshuva began. She's a very famous speaker today. Her husband just learns around the clock, but they have the money. They're not a burden on society. And she speaks all over. Beautiful book. It was a bestseller. It's maybe in its 10th printing today. Mikini Neofa, that the Ribbono Shel Olam lifted them out of the dirt. The funniest story, one of the funniest incidents that ever happened to me in all my years of teaching, speaking, preaching, leading and being led by the nose. It's at the very end of the book I mentioned a moment ago by David Zeldin, Charedim Legoralam. It's about how Nachal Charedi was organized. He was a member of the first Nachal Charedi. He tells the following story at the end, and I'll tell you what happened to me afterwards. In that first Nachal Charedi was a Chayal Binyamin who came from a Briska home, grew up near the old zoo in Jerusalem, but was very different. Like when the kids went to the zoo, he gives this example. So kids go to the zoo, they look at the animals, and they run back to Cheder. He looked at the animals and started asking questions. How do they eat? What do they do during the winter? How do they keep warm? Had an inquisitive mind. And they saw this kid is trouble. And they told his father, get him off. This is what they do if a Haredi kid acts up. If they have money, and I'm not being funny now, I'm being truthful, they send him to Borough Park. If they don't have money, and many of those kids come back to Nachal Haredi. My grandsons knew many examples. Fighters, that's a new Hebrew word. Fighters. And if they don't have money, they send the kid to Stamford Hill. So the father bought a ticket to London to get him to Stamford Hill, and the kid refused to leave Israel. They kicked the kid out of the house. So here you have a kid, 18 years old, Valgetzach Afmugas, no home, no nothing. And he meets Rabbi Fuchs. And Rabbi Fuchs says to him, why do you have to throw all of Yiddishkeit away? He says, well, I want to be an Israeli, I want to go to college, I want to have a profession, I want to learn Hebrew. So Rabbi Fuchs says, we're organizing a branch in the army just for a kid like you. And he turns out to be an outstanding soldier, Chayal Mitztayen, in the first unit of Nachal Charedi. At the end of the 3 years, right towards the end, he's going to a family that's hosting him for Shabbat because he could never go home. And the army arranges hospitality. They arrange apartments and hospitality. And he goes to Kanyon Malcha, right? The big shopping center that was built maybe, I don't remember, 10, 15 years ago. It's a magnet. It's always filled with people. And it's a Kiddush Hashem. You have milchika places and fleshika places, and everything is 100% the kasher by ordinance of the shopping center. It's an Azrieli shopping center, and all his shopping centers must, anyone who sells food there must be kosher. So he now comes out and gets on the bus, and he's holding a bouquet of flowers that he bought as he left to bring to the family that's hosting him. And on the bus, there's a girl sitting there, a young lady his age. And she says to him, does everyone understand modern Hebrew here? I have to try. Who doesn't understand modern Hebrew? So I'll say it in Hebrew and translate, because I'm living it. I can't say it in English. And she says, Chayal, Bishlumei Hamtrachim Ha'eru. And Matan said, you're a soldier, what are you doing with flowers? He says, yeah, I'm a soldier, but I'm home for Shabbat. Efoshet Adato, where were you in the army? And he answers, Nachal Charedi. And she says, Ato Veidalai. How do you say that in English? You're teasing me. What do you mean, Acha Charedi? I just got out of the army, she says. I know the army. Where's your beard? Where's your payas? Ba'od Dakan, another minute you'll tell me you were born in Meir Sharim. And he says to her, and then she adds on, V'sfadeh, and your mother tongue is Yiddish. He says, I've other been at the barn in Meir Sharim, and my mother tongue is Yiddish. And then he says to her, and you ask me for who are these flowers? They're for you. P.S. 4 months later, they were married. It's many years later. They have 4 children. They live in a yishuv. And I want to tell you, in the book it mentions that she was the daughter of the chief rabbi of Holland. So here I am in England, speaking in a kehillah called Nei Yisrael, and I tell this story, and the Rebbetzin goes berserk and starts shouting and screaming, "That's my niece, that's my niece." Okay? She was the sister of the chief rabbi, married to a very prominent rabbi in London. So you see, and that book too became a bestseller, widely quoted in the general Israeli press. So what I'm trying to say, let me review. There's going to be a lot of heartache, a lot of screaming, a lot of shouting. I mean, even people listening to me, though, people who say, Rakefet is an idiot, build the jail, take the 70,000, throw them in and throw the key away. Look, there are people like that. Someone else will say, Rakefet, and I'll be courageous, and I'll stop a pushback, a good for nothing, saying that people can serve in the IDF, good Jews. A lot kosher army today. The Midrash, again, I'm using my English, the Midrash, the tender for meat. The army, until now, until a year ago, they used to have regular kosher and glatt kosher. Now the whole tender is just for glatt kosher. It works out cheap because the demand for glatt kosher rises every month. And it works out cheaper already to order 100 tons of glatt kosher than to split it. An army that, Baruch Hashem, no training on Shabbat. All you have on Shabbat is Bitachon Shotef, Pikuach Nefesh, Egypt, Syria, the borders, intelligence today. No training, total Shmir on Shabbat. It's by order, by law. So people only have, all right, there's going to be a lot of yelling and shouting and people will say many extreme ideas. But the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. And people intuitively, we don't want to be poor. We don't want to be nachschleppers. And as the country becomes more religious, which happens every day, because the Olim coming in, the immigrants from France, Nefesh Benefesh, America, England, South Africa, Australia, you're running 80 to 90% religious. The Balei Tshuva, the Russians, what I have seen, and those of you who have my new volume, the Balei Tshuva among the Russians, it's beyond description. Yosef Begun, the famous prisoner of Zion, came to see me a few weeks ago. I have pictures with me in where I'm staying of Yosef Begun coming and sitting in my office. And he's telling me his wife, first of all, he's now been married 15 years. If you know Yosef's track record, he says this is a new achievement for me that I can stay with one woman 15 years. I said, Yosef, thank God, you're now a total Jew. Forget about what communism taught you. But he's telling me, oh, he says, but do I suffer? Her son became Haredi. And he has a large family and I have to behave myself. I said, Yosef, it's not as bad as a KGB prison, is it? All right, we had a good laugh. And it's a gradual process. It began with Ben-Gurion and the exemption and Begin and the tremendous success today that the Haredi world has in holding on to its youth. And on the other hand, the religious Zionist element certainly created a model that one can be observant at Kutzo Shalyut to the very end and yet be part and parcel of the country. And these are the issues at hand. And my intelligent guess is in another 60 years, you will see that there will be so much more integration. When Mashiach comes, it'll be total. But until then, it will be the Rov Minyan U'Binyan Shel Klal Yisrael. And I want to end off. You see, Rabbonim have great influence, but the people have even more influence. There's an unbelievable Gemara in Bracha, Daf Mem Hei Yomer Aleph. You'll soon reach it in the Daf Yomi. It's a whole machleket. What bracha do you make over war? Shahakol or Borei Nefashot? And after all, without water we can't live. It's more important than any other food that we eat. Our bodies are what? 87%, 80%, if I remember my biology from college, water. So the Rabban didn't know what to answer. And what does the Gemara say? It's four times in Shas. Fuk chazi mai ama devar. Go out and see what the people are doing. And what they do determines the halacha, determines the lifestyle. There's a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samach Vavam and Aleph, a very, very famous Gemara. Well, Chilam HaZaken comes to Yerushalayim and no one knows whether a Kopi Pesach is Deich HaShabbos. Well, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos and he's the one that explains it is Deich HaShabbos, and then they have a tremendous problem. What do we do if we didn't prepare the knife before Shabbos? What do we do with the knife? How do we avoid the issue of carrying? How do we get the knife to the Beis HaMikdash? And Hillel HaZaken didn't know what to answer. But he says, Smoch al b'nei Yisrael, nu help me out, lo neviyim heim, b'nei neviyim heim. And sure enough, they shoved the knife into the hair, into the wool, and they brought the animal with the knife to the Beis HaMikdash. And Hillel then says, I now remember, that is the halacha, but it shows you the intuitive ability of the Jew to know how to live. And I want to tell you what gives me such confidence. After all, the Gemara in Bava Batra says, Mayosfu ban habayit nitla nevuah mehan aviyim, and who prophesies, who is a prophet, a shelter, or a katan? All right, I'm happy to be a fool, I'm happy to be young again, believe me. But there's one picture in this book that says it all. I'm not going to hold it up, I'll just tell you about it because you're not going to see it from afar. But the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me a tremendous zchut. Who recalls when the Baal Tanya came to Vilna to see the Vilna Gaon? What happened? The Vilna Gaon left Vilna rather than be in the same city with such an apikoros. And I had the zchut. I got a call from Chabad that I solved a tremendous riddle for them. I said, what are you talking about? They said, for years we had this picture and we didn't know who that rabbi is with the black beard sitting in the picture. And in your volumes on the Rav, you have a picture of Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, 1939. We identified that person from 1942. It is the Rav. Sitting here at this Lubavitcher dinner is Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and a little man with a little black beard, his son-in-law, who will go on to change the world, Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson. And if we can see the Vilna Gaon's top Talmud, Rav Chaim Volozhin, his great-great-great-great-great-grandson, sitting with the great-great-great-great-grandchildren of the Baal Tanya, I have a feeling that my predictions are correct. And finally, please give me that bag. I showed it, the bag. Just the bag. No, just the black bag. The black bag, that's all. Speaking English. I showed this last year, but for anyone who didn't see the impact it makes, if anyone didn't see it, it's worth showing it again. And my dear friends, I'll tell you what, my dream is. What I'm about to show you is Army Tzitzit, which any soldier can request. I look forward to the day, Be'ezrat Hashem, when you won't have to request it, but it'll be part and parcel of the Army uniform which you will receive. And to use modern Hebrew, the Yom She'atam B'Chayel, the day you become a soldier. Maybe we Zocha. You want to create problems, I can't pronounce Chayel, I'm a Talmud of the Rav. So ultimately, we'll give people the choice. They want Chayel, fine. And if they want regular Kafel Shmon and Tzitzit, there it is. And Halavai, this day should come B'Hera B'Yameinu, B'Yad Shiach M'Tzitkenu, and we should receive him with joy and happiness and with an absolute minimum of machloket. Thank you very, very much. Do you want to take some questions?
Is anyone who would like to some questions to the Rabbi Rekefet? Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. What's
what?
Shimon's Peres' role in the with the Haredi world with the army?
Shimon Peres has a great skill. With the army, it's a minor role. He was Minister of Defense at the time. But we only are alive because of Shimon Peres. You know what I'm talking about? He got Israel the atom bomb. So he has a great skill. His role with the army was he was the Minister of Defense at that time, and he what BG did, he was BG's main advisor, his shikingle, and later he became Minister of Defense, and he institutionalized the exemption as an order of the Minister of Defense. And that continued until Hope Collins challenged in 2002, when it expired in 2012, a week ago, so the legal experts say that now it goes back to the Minister of Defense, Barak. And Barak is caught in a vice because he would love to dress up as a yeshiva boy, but the army is not prepared to accept 70,000 Haredim all at once. So if you notice, just yesterday, they called Barak as saying, I won't do anything until the government decides what to do. So that's where it stands. But Shimon Peres has great schuyot. His other schut, La'richa German told him, is that when he was a little kid, you know his real name is Persky, okay? And when he was a little kid, his father took him to the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha, and the Chafetz Chaim would make a bench to La'richa's German Toivim and take a look. Do you know who Shimon Peres' first cousin is? Born and raised in the Bronx, Lauren McCall. Their fathers were brothers. She is so distant from anything Jewish, she makes Shimon Peres look like the Tzaddik Hadar. Are there any other questions? Yes.
What is the position of the National Union
Party? I think they essentially will go along with Nintendo. I believe that everyone understands there has to be a gradual, it's not a compromise as much as understanding the reality of life, that it has to be a gradual process. I actually wrote a letter to the committee because I feel that Dafka, who should go into the army, the future Rabbanim, the future Dayanim, the future Rashi Yeshiva, because in order to be the leaders of the Jewish people, you have to understand the Jewish people. And I always quote the pasuk, Lech rei ki shichei tamcha, but they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, go down, your people have sinned. So the Dashan used to say, when the Rebbe goes up to heaven and leaves the people, goes up the mountain and leaves the people below, they're going to sin. So Lech rei, they Dafka should say. So I wrote a letter to one of the committee, but I got back a nice letter, it said nothing, but it was a nice letter. At least he answered. And I was a little bit upset. I said, I write to this guy, I know his uncle, I write so nicely, I don't get an answer. And then I found out he was in the hospital for a few weeks. And then I got an answer. I said, Kala Kavod. But I don't fool myself. The Haredi world, the Luim, then there's a different problem. If you're going to have a quota in each yeshiva, 100 Luim,
Kina, the sinner, the miser, the reisha, boy, I don't want to be around to see what's going to go on. You just think now Chaim Berlin, Taylor Vadas, Reitz, and the Korean War, and each yeshiva can choose 100 students not to be drafted. Vadaila Hakima. Yes.
You spoke about how Haredim at the Amhu level, if you will,
right, to a certain
degree, are self-integrating into society. What you have not spoken about how the and people aren't afraid. In other words, they'll keep their Haredi identity.
Right.
What about the Rashi Yeshiva who will not have their study halls, benches filled with students? You haven't spoken about how it is in their interest to keep the status quo.
Look, the Hesdi Yeshiva, you take a one Shvut, you take a Kotel, you take Shalabim, you take KBY, you're dealing with tens of thousands of students, but they're not all there at the same time. Everyone lives with the reality that there's an army. Lehefet, the Rosh Yeshiva.
At a different point.
The Rosh Yeshiva go to visit them in the army.
They used to say that the Yeshiva is the Tabor of Noya. Everyone has to be, otherwise, though, they'll be the Tabor
right,
of
so,
the
so,
but now, but there's another, there's really, as you know, there, and you haven't commented on it, there's another set of interests that govern the policy, and that is to keep a Rosh Yeshiva, Ms. Hoban, tell me
them
to give a
share
to.
No. So that's the whole idea. You're not going to take them wholesale. You're going to arrange. They're going to have a choice when they want to go. There's going to be a cutoff age. And no one wants to empty out the yeshiva. But it'll be like a yeshiva festa. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of anger. Again, I don't want to address. I don't want to come down to the street level. In other words, these people will yell, you hurried v'al yavo. I mean, this is idiocy. This is not halacha, this is not Jewishkeit. What are we talking about after the Holocaust? What is the Israeli army there for? Halavai, we would have had an army during the Holocaust. Read what I write in the book when a survivor slaps my face. Where were you, Harav Rakefet, when I was suffering in Auschwitz? I said I was wearing short pants. I was all of 5 years old. What do you want? But the Mossad contacted me and said, Harav Rakefet, we know that you know how to teach Gemara. Are you willing to go behind the Iron Curtain for us? And then he tells me my wife's name and my children's name. I was shaking like a leaf. But first of all, my wife is braver than I am. And secondly, we both had the attitude that if God privileged us to do something for our brethren when we did nothing to help World War II, you all know what happened here. Yeah, I've spoken about it endless times. I read about it in the Rav. I footnoted, I give you sources, etc., etc. I tell you what the Rav said. So it certainly influenced. But, all right, there are vested interests, there's money, money talks, like if it works. Believe me, it's all going to work out, but give it 60 years. It took 124 years to reach the 90,000 from Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha. It's going to take 120 years, but we're going to get there in dignity. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to get there.
Yeah,
I see your hand.
Would it have been advantageous for religious parties, or we call them Haredi parties, to become involved in negotiations regarding the bylaw? Because the rule was, we're not showing up, we're not coming.
I definitely agree with you 100%. But you have to understand the religious mentality. These Haredi, privately, they'll tell you one thing, and publicly, the more extreme, the better. Kol hayoter matzin et daito harezem mishubah. You follow, playing on the words. I agree with you 100%. But they're buying time right now, and the election campaign can tell it all. In other words, ultimately the results are going to come in. And Netanyahu, either he can form a government with the Haredi, or he's going to have to go with Kadima. But either way, he will be in the driver's seat. So I hope when they see he's in the driver's seat, an equitable compromise will be reached. By the way, what this gentleman said about Teivat Noach, I know Gedol Yisrael who asked the same question,
Ad Matai, whoever heard of everyone sitting and learning, everyone's in Amoritz, he's learned for 20 years, and in a while, and I don't want to go further, but the real learnings, they are so weak, it's being Schattenstein. Without Schattenstein, Torah would come to an end in the whole world. So, and you know, people baited me over this past weekend, I was in Teaneck, that if it, without Schattenstein, people would know Hebrew today. Today, if I speak Hebrew, everyone's looking at me, it's like I'm speaking Yiddish, it's lost. To my Talmidim, who are hitting 25 and older. So in Israel too, even Rav Eliashiv used Schottenstein, they pronounce it. My grandsons, to them, a Gemara is Schottenstein. So this is the reality. So they were asked, Ad Matai, what about Lukemit Mitzvah? So many have answered, yes, it will change. We had to be that way after the Holocaust. We have regained our strength and we have regained our self-confidence. Now, if they say it in public, they'll be thrown into our Rakefet's camp. You understand? So I understand them. Can I tell you what I told them? Lesson Kamenetsky in front of 300 people. I still meet people in Pool today. It was years ago. It was Rav David Lipschitz's 10th year on Sunday. And the family asked me to give this shiur. And I had an audience there, hundreds of rabbanim. I was in good form. That shiur may be on the YU website. I believe it is. Go find it, 1,000 and who knows how many already. So, no, it could be with a search. David Lipschitz. It was an interesting shiur. So, but I have a Yetzer Sahara. So in the middle of the shiur, I looked Rav Nosson right in the eye. I know him very well. His picture appears in my work on the rough. So I say to Rav Nosson in front of the hall, I said, Rav Nosson, and he'd just been put in the Chevron 50 times over, and the New York Times condemns what went on here. So I say to him, Rav Nosson, let me tell you the difference between us. We both think white. I live white. You live black. And that's your problem. Baruch Hashem, place with Wal. He had that angelic smile on what he was thinking, I'm not sure. He wrote a book, Anatomy of a Band. You know about this? An unbelievable volume. He gave out 50 copies signed. I have one of the copies. We had to swear we will not publish it. He left it savar that it's to be published 25 years after his death. I can tell you that the book is dynamite with documents. I guarantee you his kids will never publish it, because they need shidduchim for the great book.
Could you have copied?
Baruch Hashem, but time marches on. Thank you very, very much. Everything should be well. Regards to your partner, the English principal.
Regards to my comment.
Oh, Steve Samuel.